episode 1206, The Smashing Machine Movie Review. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono. We're back. We took last week off to go to a movie together.
That's right. And we've been hanging out so much outside of podcasting that I totally forgot to even bring a recorder with, because we've just been having real life normal conversations.
That's only going to continue because we're having a cat's party this weekend.
That's this weekend. No recording, just fun. And we're going on a trip together to see our friends the Rainies.
Yeah, in a month.
No recording, just fun.
I'm super excited.
Wow. So this review is 1 week in the making because we saw it exactly 1 week ago today.
So I think we've both been looking forward to this movie, but for very different reasons. So yes. We saw The Smashing Machine.
Yeah, so listeners, let's talk just briefly without spoilers, and then we'll dive into spoilers. Yes, The Smashing Machine, starring one of my favorites, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
And directed, it's an A24 movie, which I like. Certainly, you know, they're a studio, so not all of their stuff is going to be good. But directed by Benny Safdie, who of the Safdie brothers, who did Uncut Gems and Good Time. Uncut Gems, I think, is just spectacular. I know
I've never even heard of Good Time.
It's Robert Pattinson.
Okay.
Benny Safdie acted in that one. Benny Safdie also did The Curse with Nathan Fielder.
And is he in also? He's also in that
one? He's in it, and he was also an actor at Oppenheimer.
Oh, wow.
So he's been quite prolific. Meanwhile, his brother, Josh Safdie, so they are making separate movies now, has a Timothy Chalamet ping pong movie,
yes,
which on the surface looks ridiculous, and it's like early buzz is it's one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, because you and I saw this trailer together while we waited for Smashing Machine, and I think that, now I was on my best behavior about not talking to you.
You did so good.
During the movie, but during the trailer of this ping pong movie, I said something along the lines of, it's hard to feel like the stakes are very high when it's a movie all about the game of ping pong.
And on the surface, I agree. It sounds like it's fantastic.
They take ping pong very seriously.
Very seriously.
Here.
So that's coming out in December. But first up was The Smashing Machine, which felt like it was the perfect movie for us to see together, because I have no respect for The Rock, but I have a lot of respect for the Safdies. And I thought that what they did with Adam Sandler, and I know you didn't love Uncut Gems, but you didn't love Uncut Gems because it was so effective.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
It stressed you out.
Exactly. Right. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I don't think I ever said that. I just didn't love it. But
I loved it, and I thought Adam Sandler was incredible in it. Like, he blew me away. You know, he was in Punch Drunk Love, Paul Thomas Anderson. Did you ever see Punch Drunk
Love? I'm interested, but I haven't seen it.
It's good. It's a good performance by him, but you know, Uncut Gems is next level. And so super excited to see this. Like, can they make The Rock into a good actor? The Scorpion King himself.
Yeah, the Scorpion King.
And he is credited as Dwayne Johnson.
I mean, that makes sense. He does own the rights to The Rock, but why? Right. Why not just go by your real name?
Yes. And then, you know, subject-wise, it's a MMA movie, so I figured you would like that because you like...
I like professional wrestling.
Semi-nude men grappling with each other.
I do like professional wrestling. I've never really got into MMA, although I'm mildly interested in watching boxing or UFC fighting. I think I would like that if I had a group of friends that wanted to watch it together. I don't. I'm not going to watch it with my kids.
I don't.
If you ever want to watch, I know you don't want to, but if you change your mind and someday you decide, I want to get into UFC or boxing, I could watch that with you.
So this is a biopic, and I assume you knew the guy it was about. Turns out you didn't, but this seemed like Our Worlds Collide,
mm-hmm,
and What Happens? And it turns out the result is meh. It's a movie. Technically.
Yeah. So we'll talk some specifics here next.
Such a weird movie.
But before we spoil, I think you and I walked out, and we talked about it. We didn't record anything, but we just said Rock does a great job in the role.
He is fantastic. He disappears into the role.
Yeah, so the highlight is his acting. But when it comes to the narrative, I mean, nothing's wrong with it. It was fine, and I didn't hate it, but I also didn't love it. So I'm landing right in the middle, a little bit more than you. You're going with 3 stars, I believe.
Yeah.
And I think I'm maybe 3.5.
Yeah, so I thought it was very well directed and well acted, but I didn't think the narrative was fine, actually. I felt like the script was extraordinarily weak, and I get that it's a true story, But a couple of things. So first of all, maybe people who are into MMA know who Mark Kerr is, and this movie means something to you. But a biopic has to also convince, like, good biopics could be like, I'd never heard of this person, and now I'm very interested in their story.
Or you feel like, I never heard of him, and now I realize how important he is to the world as a whole.
Yes, or something like that. And this was like, huh, it's Mark Kerr.
Right. I said to you after the movie that it's as I would compare this to, let's say I have a big knowledge of the history of professional wrestling. So I know who the most important players are from history. Let's say I put together a movie and about this professional wrestler, and everybody who likes wrestling would be like, yes, it's great that you're doing a movie on this guy. He is very important. But I never got around to explaining to you, Ben, why he's important. I just told some of his story. Then the movie would end and you'd be like, what was that for? That's what my experience was with this. I'd never heard of this guy. And the movie makers wanted you to believe, and he probably is, he's a pioneer when it comes to MMA fighting or UFC or whatever, and he's important to that sport. But they wanted you to really leave there feeling like he's a very important individual in human history, and I didn't get there.
Yeah, it's the polar opposite of Raging Bull. So Raging Bull, I think the character's name is Jack LaMotte. Anyway, it's biopic as well, historical figure.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk out of Raging Bull, and you're like, incredible story.
Yeah.
Not necessarily important to human history, but an incredible story and extremely well told. So Mark Kerr, he deals with substance abuse and he deals with some domestic problems. And like, if it's a friend you know who is going through that, you'd be like, wow, that's a lot you're going through. But it's not dramatically weighty enough to sustain a movie. To give you an example, like with the substance abuse, we see him getting addicted and we're about 45 minutes into this 2-hour movie, and then he goes to rehab.
Whoa, we're spoiling the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is this spoilers territory now?
Yeah.
Whoa, you just hit something.
Uh-oh.
Do you hear that sound?
Yeah, I think it's just the microphone
thing. Okay, so listen to the spoiler time. Thing.
Yeah. He goes to rehab, and then he's fine. Like, no more addiction. So it's like this.
That's great, though.
I mean, it's great. Yeah, like, you'd be really proud of your friend. He beat his demons. And then, you know, so it's like none of these problems. And I'm guessing that in that world, substance abuse and opioid addiction are sadly very common, as are probably some domestic issues, like with, you know, domestic violence or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's not like horribly abusive. He and his girlfriend fight a lot.
I do have some thoughts on that. I didn't finish my thoughts when I came to my analogy earlier. I was just going to say, when I was talking about me making a wrestling movie, I think that it's clear the filmmakers or the writers, people behind this movie, love mixed martial arts or fighting in general. So you can feel that they love it and he's important to them. They just didn't get us, the audience, to also think he's very important.
Yes.
Even though he seems like a great guy. I'm sure he's a great guy.
I'm sure he's not. Like, he's probably not a good guy.
Well, I think they portrayed him as a kind man who got caught up in some things that he repented of.
Well, maybe. Thanks to a trip to Wikipedia, we learned he worked at a Toyota dealership.
That's right. Oh, man. I forgot about all that. I love the ending. We have to get to that. But you were just saying something I wanted to add on to. Oh, the relationship dynamics.
Yeah.
Here's what I think was actually good about the storytelling. We've got the two main characters, Emily Blunt and The Rock. Don't know her name. In the movie.
Oh.
But she's his love interest in the sense that she's his living girlfriend.
Dawn or something like that.
Yeah, I think Dawn sounds right. So at different points in the movie, they are able to kind of flip our perspective on who really is to blame for their domestic issues. And I thought that was interesting because early in the film, it's like, wow, Emily Blunt is kind of a victim here and how she's being treated.
Yeah.
But then later in the film, you're like, oh no, The Rock is.
Yeah, she's kind of manipulative.
Yeah, but they're both kind of not good for each other. So that's why the ending. Maybe that's something that makes it less satisfying. And here we are in spoilers, listeners. But you know that they keep breaking up, keep getting back together, keep breaking up, get back together. And the end of the film that kind of has the epilogue, you find out, oh, after this movie, where they had a terrible blowout.
Yeah.
We just read
on-screen text.
On-screen text that says, oh, they got back together shortly after this.
Got married.
And then 6 years later, got divorced. But they did have a kid. And now it's like
not
20,
a shock.
Yeah, like, no, not at all.
None of that was surprising.
You said everything in the epilogue was unintentionally funny.
So the epilogue, we finish a story, cut to 20 years later, and it's Mark Kerr, the real Mark Kerr, yep. Not The Rock anymore, grocery shopping. For no reason. You're just filming him grocery shopping. And then it's like there's on-screen text coming up. Well, you're just watching this old guy grocery shop.
And going to his car. I think more of it might have actually been him walking, trying to find his car.
Loading the groceries into the car, yeah. And then like you're thinking, I wonder if that's really his car. they had one special for the movie. So you know he loads up this car, and then you're getting all these updates on his life. And it's the funniest part was that it flashes up like his name is Mark Kerr.
Right. That's the last line of the film, or the last title.
Which it
title
felt
screen.
Like it was. Do you remember Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so like the bit for people who aren't familiar is Paul Harvey would tell you some. He was this old guy on the radio for the kids out there.
Yeah.
He'd tell you this kind of.
A cold open, right?
Yeah. Like this long story of somebody, and you're hearing all these interesting things. And at the end of it, they'd be like. And that person was Matthew Anderson. You realize, wait a second, I had no idea that was, you know, I know Matthew Anderson for the Sci-Fi Christian. I didn't realize that he, I don't know, rescued hostages in Iraq or something.
That's right. A lot of people don't know that.
Exactly. Now you know the rest. It felt like a rest of the story punchline. But of course he was Mark Kerr. Just watched the whole movie about him.
To me, it was like, remember his name. But like I had said earlier in this episode, They didn't convince us enough that he, even though he's a great fighter, he's not so important that you'd be like, he is Mark Kerr.
Yeah.
They didn't say this, but it's like, don't forget, he's done something big. It's like, well, I don't know if he did something big. He is a good fighter, but is that a big deal?
So the other thing that was really weird from the script perspective is, do you remember at the beginning of the movie, it says this story takes place between 1997 and 2000.
Right.
And we watch him doing some fights in Brazil.
He's very good.
Like 5 minutes in, it goes to 1999. And you think, they're going to like Tarantino this thing. We're going to be all over the place. Nope.
The 98, unimportant.
We just skipped 2 years, 5 minutes for 97, nothing on 98, straight to 1999.
Yeah.
And that's the rest of the movie. So really, this story takes place between 1999 and 2000.
At least they're accurate.
With a very, very brief prologue. In 97.
Yeah. Yeah. So, talk more about the text that comes up because it says they got married, then they divorced. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. They had a kid.
And then it was like, now MMA fighters can earn millions. Okay. So that's his great contribution to humanity.
Also, okay. So we've talked about the epilogue, but story wise, this is a true story. So you can't just make up whatever you want. But, you know, if you're watching like a Rocky movie, he's got a win at the end.
Yeah.
And this one, his best friend wins the tournament.
Right.
And it, I don't know, there's just something a little bit anticlimactic about the main character not actually sealing the deal.
Yeah.
Like he's basically, him and his girlfriend, their relationship is in shambles.
Well.
And he also has lost.
You might think so.
Yeah, but wait
10 days later.
Yeah, no. But so I'm just saying at that point in the movie, his life is. I mean, he has beaten drugs. He's kicked the habit, so that's good. But
that happened an hour ago in the movie. That's not the dramatic finish.
Yeah,
that's in the first half of the movie.
But everything we saw, if you think as he's getting beat up at the very end or in his last match, he's getting beat up, and they're flashing to scenes of bad things that have happened to him when it comes to his relationship and drugs. But they're also flashing his best friend who ends up winning the tournament.
Yeah,
my takeaway was twofold. He's just emotionally so beat down by what he's went through. That's one part. But the second part is, I don't know if he had it in him to fight his friend. I think there was a part of him that maybe wanted to lose so he didn't have to fight his best friend.
I mean, if that was the thrust of the movie, they did not make that clear.
I think it's there. And then we get to the final scene with The Rock. He's in the shower. You were wondering if we might see
some rock oodity,
but we did not. It was just him laughing in the shower. And this juxtaposes a scene where he had lost a match earlier in the film and he's crying. So we have losing crying, later losing laughing. And that's where his story ends for us. And to me, it just kind of felt like, okay, they're trying to tell a redemption arc. I just didn't feel it as much as they wanted me to.
So the redemption is that losing is hard.
Well, I think the redemption is losing isn't everything to him, or winning isn't everything to him. Before, he can't even imagine. He cannot fathom winning, or he can't fathom losing a match. Yeah. Then he does, and he breaks down. Now he's gotten to the point, he's grown, where he can lose and still be okay with life.
I mean, but that's a lesson most of us learn. Like, that's not profound.
Like, you're that's saying a lot deep. Of us learn this a lot younger. You were like, right. My kids are learning that.
Right, because most of us aren't very good at everything, so we lose a lot.
Yeah, so you're saying like this is like a low-level stakes when it comes to...
Yeah, it's what makes it such a weird movie is that the directing's excellent, it's well shot, the acting's great, and it's about nothing.
Yeah.
The thrust of this movie is nothing.
What's your take from these scenes we saw a week before the movie's release where it's played at a festival and The Rock gets a 15-minute standing ovation?
Well, I mean, that's just hype.
That's just what they do?
Yeah.
15 minutes, though? I mean, he did a good job.
I've never been to a film festival. I'm dubious of all these long-standing ovations.
Okay, yes, because I can't imagine watching that film and feeling so inspired by, although I like The Rock, feeling so inspired by his performance and the movie as a whole to be like, I'm going to stand here for 15 minutes and keep clapping.
You think that stuff is organic, though?
Okay, so you think it's...
I think you could... probably studios have plants, or at these festivals, you have people who are there to see the next important film. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I watched something important, and I don't want to be the guy who didn't clap for the next Best Picture winner, and now the Oscars are going to go to The Rock, and all this is going to be great. I better get on board with this. Better stand.
So as I drove away, did we get on the phone to keep talking about it?
No.
Okay. As I drove away, I think I called my wife. Here's why I was...
You live 5 minutes from the theater.
I called somebody to talk about this movie more, and if it wasn't you, I'm guessing it was Des. But here's what I wanted to say about it. I remember saying, as I'm driving away, I do not think this movie is going to get an Oscar for the film, but I think The Rock could get an Oscar if you're just looking at acting. Although,
I think he'll get nominated. I don't think he's going to win.
Still amazing. The Rock. I would love if The Rock gets nominated for anything, just because I love The Rock.
I mean, I would say, I don't know all the other performances he's up against, but it's worth a nomination. It's an Oscar nomination worthy performance.
Yeah.
And that's
saying something.
That is saying something. So very similar to Adam Sandler.
Where did things go with him? Did he get nominated for an Oscar?
I don't recall. I don't think he won, but I think he got nominated.
Man, I hope, just imagine that. Oscar nominated actor Dwayne Johnson. That's amazing.
What do you think is going to happen if he loses to Timothy Chalamet and Marty Supreme, the ping pong movie?
I think that's probably very likely.
Yeah. Like
I think he'll laugh in the shower.
Right. You think Benny Safdie will go watch his own movie to learn how to handle it?
Yes, he'll have to.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hit the music. I think we're done here. But very so-so. Like you just said, nothing really happens, but it wasn't... I never found myself bored. Did you find yourself bored?
Oh, frequently. I could not wait for this movie to end. The last 40, 45 minutes took forever.
It was about exactly 2 hours.
Too long. I was so ready for this movie to be done.
I remember you left to go to the bathroom, and you said that while you're away... You Wikipedia'd it or something?
Yeah, I read the rest of the movie.
Why?
Sorry, what was it? Because I wanted to find out how much was left that I had to sit through. Because sometimes it's like when you don't care about a movie anymore, you just want to know like, okay, when I see this happen, there's only 2 sentences left in the Wikipedia summary, so we got to be getting close.
Okay, so you're really checked out. So 3 is actually a little high, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, 3 is purely for the performance and filmmaking. The story's like a 1. I thought the script was very bad.
Wow. All right, listeners. Well, that's our review. Let us know your thoughts. Feedback at thescifichristian.com. But for now, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Benny Bono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christian signing off. I'm recording so we can do our next episode, but for the end of Smash the Machine, I just realized as I was saving the file and naming it Smash the Machine, I don't know why this movie is called Smash the Machine.
That was his nickname in real life.
But in the movie, I don't think they say it one single time.
It's also, this is a weird thing. There was an HBO documentary in the early 2000s called The Smashing Machine about Mark Kerr.
Oh.
And apparently this movie recreates scenes from that like word for word in places.
What?
So like, even people who are fans of Mark Kerr, a lot of the reaction was just go watch the documentary.
I don't get it. So they like, you're saying the talking head interviews, they recreate only in the narrative?
I don't know. I haven't watched the document. I'm just telling you what I read online.
Wow, that is weird. Why name it the same thing? But I'm right, though, right? In the movie, they never actually call that man the Smashing Machine, right? Because that's a pretty cool name, if it's your nickname.
I don't know if that's... I don't recall them doing it, and I'm certainly not going to go back and
you
check.
You could be like,
so
coming down the aisle, Mark, the Smashing Machine Kerr. That's cool. Yeah. They never said that.
That's the type of wrestling you like.
Yeah, actually, yes. Do you know when I was a professional wrestler, do you know what my name was?
The Mangler.
Yes.
Yeah.
When have I mentioned that to you?
Many times.
Matt the Mangler Anderson.
Many times.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Back when we were playing fantasy football at Epic Life, 15 years ago, your team was
Minnesota
the Mangler.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, you really know me.